Well, good morning, church. My name is Jacob Rissman, for those of you who don't know me. I help lead the campus ministry. Amen. And Vince asked me to preach the word this morning, so I'm excited to be up here. And last week, Vince talked about how kindness is a crucial quality of someone who is living as a light. And this kindness, it's not just meant to be something that is seen on the surface, but it's something that's powerful. It comes from within, from deep inside of us, and it overflows. He talked about how kindness, it's not just about the things that we do. It's about who we are. Yeah. Right? Our kindness, it points others to God. And genuine kindness, it stems from a place of love. The root of kindness, as is the root of many things, is love. Your kindness is the second description of love in 1 Corinthians 13, a passage that we know pretty well. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Your love is a powerful word. It's meant to hold some weight behind it. And for as long as I can remember, the word that comes to my mind when I think of love is sacrifice. You know, 1 John 3:16, it says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." The perfect definition of love is seen through Jesus. In his death on the cross, but then there's this call to go and do likewise. Love is sacrifice. Being willing to lay down your life for someone. And that's how I've always seen this word, with this weight. And it makes me think back to college and me and Sammy's relationship. She didn't know I was going to share this, so this will be fun. We liked each other for a really long time. You know, I got to school. Took her about a month or two before she started liking me. Okay. You know, I started liking her not too long after that. She liked me for about 2 years before we started dating. I liked her for over a year and a half. It was this long process. And I remember the weeks leading up to when I knew I was going to finally ask her to be my girlfriend. I studied out what does it mean to love. You know, how can I be a boyfriend that loves Sammy? I went through all those words in 1 Corinthians. Okay, how can I be patient? What does it look like for me to be kind? And after going through all of those and studying out other scriptures, there was a part of me that was like, I already love this girl. We're not even dating yet. You know, we had liked each other for a long time. We'd built a friendship. We'd gone on a bunch of dates. We interned here together. There were moments where I was like, yeah, this is it. You know, I feel good. But I didn't actually say the words for a long time. Because when I said it, I wanted to make sure that I was 100% sure that I knew that I loved her. I didn't just wait a little bit. It was a long time. We started dating September 5th. It was August 28th by the time I finally said the words out loud. Almost a year later. Wow. Some of you might give me a hard time for that. You can bring the grief. I'll take it. Because in my mind, I knew that when I said those words, I love you, that I was going to mean it. Okay. That when I said that, I meant, man, I would lay down my life for you. And I knew that when I said those words, like, for me, in my mind, I was like, all right, I'm proposing to this girl. Like, this is the one. I was actually more nervous to tell her I loved her than I was to propose. Wow. Not because I was scared of her response, but because of the weight of what love is.
All right.
And while I waited a long time to say it, I did everything I could to show it, to show her my love for her through my actions. You know, that's what the second part of that scripture in 1 John talks about. It says, let us not love with speech, with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Because if you love someone, it isn't just about what you say. It's about what you do. Love can be expressed through words, but it is shown through our actions. And that's the title of my lesson this morning, is Love in Action. If we want to be a church that shines as a light, we have to develop a deep love for God, but also for others. You know, because it's our love that will set us apart. It's by our love that Jesus says the world will know that you're my disciples. And so this morning, I want to talk about if we want to be a church that desires to love, and to put that love into action. How do we do that? What does that look like? You can go ahead and turn over to Matthew 25. We'll pick up in verse 31. And this is the parable, not the parable, but the story of the sheep and the goats. We're going to go ahead and say a prayer, and we'll dive into the word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, that you were willing to come down from the cross, to die for our sins, to show your love. Lord, and I pray that this morning that you just speak through me. Lord, that each of us will just leave here convicted, Lord, and challenged to go and to put our love into action, challenged to question, what does that mean? What does it look like to live as the sheep, as we'll read about? But just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word and for your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew 25, picking up in verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you look after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. You know, this is a passage that many of us have heard before. And personally, this is one of those scriptures that just convicts me. It's one of the most challenging scriptures for me to sit with, because it forces me to look inward and to ask myself, does my life reflect the sheep, or does it reflect the goats? And throughout Scripture, we see a continual theme of God's people being called His flock, His sheep, and God is their shepherd. You know, Jesus claims to be the good shepherd. And something interesting about shepherds in biblical times is that it was actually pretty common for their flocks to contain both sheep and goats together. You know, we're all part of God's flock, but the difference is how we respond. And it's really interesting because to the outsider, the sheep and the goats actually look pretty similar in biblical times. Nowadays, you know, they're bred to look a certain way, to enhance certain traits. But back then, it was only the shepherd who knew the difference, because it was the shepherd who knew the flock. And while the sheep and the goats, they may have been very visually very similar, behaviorally they're quite different. You see, the sheep will follow the voice of the shepherd. They're loyal. They're trusting. They allow their shepherd to lead them. To lead them to water, to food, to shelter. They rely solely on the shepherd for their protection. But on the flip side, goats are actually really stubborn animals. You know, it's really difficult to get them to go where you want them to go. They don't listen. They just go wherever they want. But which of these describes you? Which describes your relationship with the shepherd? Do you follow him faithfully, listening to his voice to guide you? Or do you listen to your own voice as you just plow through life? Because we live in a world where, honestly, we're taught to take care of ourselves. We're taught to provide for you. You know, the world teaches us to be stubborn. You don't need to rely on anyone. You got it. Do it yourself. You know, but God calls us to be people that listen for his voice, that trust in him, to trust that he will lead us to where we need to go. Because the reality is the shepherd is the one who knows what's best for his flock. But do you trust God? Do you trust his words? Do you obey his commandments? Do you spend time meditating on them? And when you hear the voice of the Spirit pulling at your heart, do you follow it? Or do you take your own path? How do you respond to the voice of the shepherd? Because almost every time I read this scripture, I feel convicted to be more like the sheep, to become more of a servant. I feel challenged. Man, I should go and find a way to serve. I should keep some extra change in my wallet so that when I drive past the person on the side of the road, I can at least give them something. But if I'm honest, these actions are usually prompted out of guilt because I haven't been doing a good job of that. They're prompted by obligation. I think about, well, if Jesus was with me, what would Jesus do? If Jesus was watching me, what would he say? And so I'm convicted. I look for those opportunities. And when you look for them, you'll find them. And usually I'm good for a couple of weeks. I'll find a couple people to help out, find a couple people to serve. But eventually it subsides. Because, well, I did the work. I gave my money. A couple months go by, and I come across the passage again. And the cycle begins. And this is how I've interacted with this scripture for most of my life. I read it, And I see that there is a call to look out for the marginalized, the oppressed, the poor, the hurting, the outcast. But the reason why I do that is because, well, Jesus tells me to. And there is something good about that. Because to love God is to obey his commands. And God has always called his people to take care of the marginalized. You know, in the Old Testament, there's this recurring theme. Look out for the widow, the orphan, the foreigner. God calls us to take care of those in need. But I don't necessarily think that's the point of this passage. You know, this passage is not just a reminder of what we were called to do, but it's to challenge our hearts, our character. Are you the sheep or are you the goats? What's the motivation behind what you do? Because I've read this passage so many times. But as I was reflecting on it this past week, something new hit me. And I've noticed this line before. I've reflected on it, but it just hit in a different way. You know, to the righteous, Jesus blesses and acknowledges all they've done for him. But it's their response. Lord, when did we see you? When did we see you? And this is important because it reveals their heart. It reveals why Jesus calls the righteous righteous. Why they lived the way they did. And this may sound like a bold claim, but hear me out. The righteous didn't do the right thing just because of Jesus. Because they didn't even understand how they did it for him. They didn't see him. They didn't hear him. It wasn't about working to provide for him. It wasn't because Jesus was watching. They fed the hungry. They invited in strangers, clothed the naked, visited the sick and those in prison because they loved people. Because you see, the voice of the shepherd, it's a calling not just to serve, but it's to love those around us. Amen. He's calling us to love. And if we want to be a light to the world, we have to put our love into action. But it starts with just loving others. Yeah. And I've never preached a sermon like this, but I just have one point for us today. And it's that Jesus' sheep have a love for others. And you may be looking at me like I'm crazy. It's the most obvious thing in the world. If we want to put our love into action, of course we need to love others. It's in the name. That's how we love the world. That's what that means. But so often, we judge ourselves, we judge our love, just solely based off of our actions. Well, if I do enough things for this person, you know, if I volunteer enough hours, if I give them enough money, then obviously I'm loving those around us. But there are plenty of reasons other than love that we can do the right things. You know, maybe you feel obligated to or pressured because everyone else around you is doing it. I know I felt that before. You know, maybe you don't have a choice. You know, maybe you're being forced to. Maybe you're in high school and you're just being dragged along with your parents. And so you're stuck there. You have to do it. Or maybe it's because you don't want to feel guilty if you pass up on the opportunity. But there's a difference between doing loving things and loving someone. It's a matter of the heart. You know, 1 Corinthians, we read this, it says love is not self-seeking. Love, it takes the focus off of us, and it puts it on the other. You know, it means that even in times where we don't feel like doing something, we act out of a place of compassion, out of a place of love and genuine care, because we just see someone that's in need. We see someone that's hurting. And we see this in Jesus' life all the time. You know, it reminds me of when John the Baptist is beheaded. Jesus' friend, his cousin, and he's mourning, he's hurting. And in Matthew 14, it says, When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. He wanted to be alone. He went to a solitary place. But hearing this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus could have turned them away. And honestly, they probably would have understood. He's hurting. He's mourning. But he has compassion on them. He sees their hurt. He sees their need for just somebody to love them. And that's why he does what he does. Because he didn't come for himself. He came to earth to love, to seek and save the lost, to take care of those who are hurting, to be a servant. That's his motivation. So why do you do the things that you do? Is it from a place of love? Or does it come from somewhere else? You know, last week Vince talked about how if our kindness is fake, people will see right through it. But the same is true with our love. Because when you love someone, there's a genuine connection.
Yes, it is.
It encourages them. It uplifts them. It dignifies them. Because they know that they're seen, that they're cared for, not just provided for. And you see, the thing about the righteous, the sheep, is they aren't focused on good works for the sake of demonstrating their righteousness. It's not about earning their salvation. When did we see you, Lord? The righteous do good works because they have a genuine love for others, because they see a need. So they step in. But sometimes we're so quick to read this passage and we just go to work for Christ because we know that it's the right thing to do. But brothers and sisters, and that's good, but that's not the point. We need to take time and look at our hearts. You think about the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day. On paper, they did a lot of the right things. But Jesus is constantly going after them. He's constantly calling them out because they honored God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. And there's a whole section in Matthew 23 where Jesus goes into, "Woe to the Pharisees! Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees! You hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former."
All right.
Because choosing to do the right thing, it is important to God. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to serve. But the matters that are more important is the heart. Yeah. Why are we doing these things? Yeah. Is it about faithfulness? Is it about mercy or justice or compassion? Is it about love? And Paul understood this. He says, "If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." You can give everything you have to the poor, but if you don't have love, you gain nothing. You see, the sheep, they had to ask Jesus, when did we do these things? Because while it does glorify him, it wasn't just about him. They did these things because they saw somebody who needed to experience the love of Christ. Someone who needed to be loved in a way that Jesus would love them. And we know that Jesus calls us to serve. But he calls us to do it out of love. When he's asked, what's the greatest commandment? You know, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, but the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commands. If we can learn to love God and we can learn to love others, everything else will fall into place. But we cannot be a church that loves others if we don't actually love them. It sounds stupid. It sounds crazy. But you all know exactly what I'm talking about. Because if we're honest with ourselves, I'm sure many of us have had times in our lives where we have tried to do loving things for others, but it wasn't out of a place of actually loving them. Jesus' answer is all about love. Last week, I was driving to WashU, and as I was pulling off the highway, there stood a man, as we often see. He had a cardboard sign, and I was pretty far back in the line. You know, I was like, all right, this light's about to turn green. Even if I did, like, I'm holding up the line, like, he probably doesn't need the little money I have. It'd be okay. And so, of course, the light turns green, I start going, and I'm the first car to not make the light. So now I'm in the front, and the guy is next to me. And I say, okay, God, I hear you, loud and clear. I know I have the $10 in my wallet. I feel the Spirit pulling at my heart. And so I reach for my wallet, and I was coming from another study. And as I was in my car about to leave, the guy came up to me and he handed me this little figure of Jesus. And I have a picture of it. And it just says, Jesus loves you. And so I reach for my wallet and I just see this thing, this Jesus figure in my car. And I'm like, I'm just convicted. I know that Jesus loves me. But Jesus loves that man too. And I just sit there, and I think, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I need to do such a better job of loving people. Because I can do the right things. It's easy for me to do the loving things. I'm in ministry. It's part of my job. But I can get caught in this just doing it because I know I should. And not because I actually love people. And usually when I give people money, I go on about my day, don't really think about it. But as I was trying to write this sermon, this scene just kept playing in my head. That moment, that feeling that I had, I just couldn't shake it. Because I was like, man, I need to be better about loving. It's not just about what I do. It's not about out of an obligation or feeling guilty. But I just need to love people. So, church, I ask you, do you love people? Because honestly, this was not the sermon that I thought I was going to write. When I saw the passage that Vince picked out, the sheep and the goat, I'm an animal science major. I was ready to do a deep dive into all the differences between the sheep and the goat to have this beautiful picture painted of this is what it means to be the sheep. I was telling Alex earlier, In fifth or sixth grade, we had a Christmas program. And I was part of a boy band called the Manger Boys. And we did a song about this. I was going to break out a move, sing a couple verses. But I couldn't get past this moment that I had. Do I love people the way that Jesus would call me to? You know, because it's easy for me to choose to do the loving thing. But even the Pharisees did that. But they didn't do it out of a place of love. And so my message to you today is simple. Love others. Because if we love them, the actions will come. Love in action. If you love someone, you will do something for them. The greatest commandments are to love God and to love others. Jesus says, they'll know you're my disciples by your love. And church, we can have deeds without love, but we will not have love without deeds. If you love someone, you will act. You will see the opportunity to respond. So how do we grow in our love for others? It starts by recognizing Jesus' love for us. It starts by recognizing Jesus' love for others. Because if Jesus can love them while dying on a cross for their sin, why can't I? If in that moment Jesus saw them worthy of love, then surely there's something that I can see in them, that I can find them worthy of my love as well. You know, what if we just spent time every day praying that we would see people the way that God sees them? That we would love people the way that God loves them.
Yeah.
That would transform us. Because God, He loves so deeply. We can't even comprehend it. So to even scratch the surface would change our congregation. It would change the way we interact with others. And similar to Vince's challenge last week, we need to be a church that is looking for the opportunities. Because if you're praying for them, you'll find them. You'll hear the shepherd's voice calling you. You'll feel the Spirit tugging at your heart. But will you respond? Will you be like the sheep? Will you feed the hungry? Will you serve? Because there is a difference between the sheep and the goats. And it's that the sheep, they hear the voice of the shepherd, and they respond. And Jesus is calling us not just to serve, but to love, and to put that love into action. Amen? Amen.